Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the last episode of my Step Into You season. This season has absolutely zoomed past. So as I'm recording this episode, I've just returned back. I'm two days back from my Step Into You retreat up in Noosa Hinterland. So I thought it would be really fun for the last episode of the season to share a bit behind the scenes of how the retreat was. So I had a lot of people asking questions about it while we were away, and also a lot of women telling me that they were vicariously living through my Insta stories on everything we were doing on the retreat. So yeah, I thought it'd be fun to give you a bit of behind the scenes on why I created the retreat, who was there, what we did, all the vital bits like the workshops, the food, the spiritual side of it, the biggest themes that I saw happening with the group that we had gathered together. So yeah, I thought it'd be fun to do that. So I'm going to dive into everything about the retreat. And I thought it would be helpful if you're considering doing a retreat at some point this year or beyond yourself, or if the whole idea of a retreat is just brand new to you and you just want to get an idea of maybe what to expect. Of course, my retreat that I designed is very unique to me and to what I believe my community would love and need and benefit from. So just obviously apply that lens to this as well. So the other thing I should say as well is I will also at the end of this episode be answering some of the questions that I got over the course of this season as well. So stay tuned for those beyond the retreat debrief as well. So first of all, why I created the retreat. So I've never honestly considered doing domestic retreats in Australia. And when COVID hit at the start of last year, I was due to take a group to Bali to experience a seven day, six night retreat that was planned for in May. And when COVID hit, I initially postponed that retreat back to October and said, okay, well, in the meantime, if we're not going to be traveling overseas for a little while, thought it was a little while, then maybe I could look into doing something more local. And I had a Zoom session with all of the ladies who were due to come to Bali with me. So I arranged to chat with them the week that we should have been in Bali in May. And they said, hey, is there any way at all, like, we will wait for Bali, we're really keen, but is there any way at all that you could do a retreat that's more local that we could go and enjoy with you and potentially catch up with each other at that? So I was like, oh, okay, maybe, hadn't thought about it. And I said, where would you want to go? And they said, Noosa. I was like, okay. So I think I hung up from that session with them at 9:30 one evening, and I just Googled Noosa retreat venues, and Amara Retreat in the Noosa Hinterland popped up, and I immediately fell in love with this. I sent an email inquiry through the website, and I think it was like 10 o'clock at night, and Susanna, the owner, had already emailed me back. I was like, oh my God, I want to do this. So I actually booked in three retreats. So I booked in three nights in October, three nights in December, and then another one for three nights in February, and pretty much launched them and started filling them, and they filled very, very quickly. October sold out very, very quickly. And then as COVID dragged on, then I started to get a little bit anxious about whether or not I was going to be able to do the October one, and ultimately had to cancel that one, had to also cancel December. And I just couldn't believe in January we were in the same position, because we had a COVID outbreak in Sydney. And I just couldn't believe that we were in the same position, just praying for a press conference, praying that the news was good. And thankfully the borders opened and we were on. So that's the kind of, I guess, the background of why I created the retreat. And of course, this should have been the third retreat that I did up there, but that didn't materialize. I do also need to say that unfortunately, due to the case that was in Melbourne went into a snap lockdown, and Queensland immediately announced that they were going to close the borders for at least 2 weeks. Actually, I haven't checked to see if they're open again. And that ruled out, immediately that ruled out my chef, my beautiful chef Sophia, who had catered a retreat for me for a group in Byron at the start of last year. And also one of our beautiful guests, Kylie, was unable to come as well. So while most of us got to travel, two of us did unfortunately miss out. So who came? So I was really curious. I find it quite interesting. Even when I did my Bali retreat back in 2018, the people who book into my retreats, I tend not to know them. So they're not people who might comment a lot or reply to my emails. They're pretty much new. And that was definitely the case again with this group. So people who follow me very closely, which is really lovely, but not necessarily the people who would be quite vocal in my community, if that makes sense. So it was very, it's always very interesting. And also, if I'm honest, a little bit nerve wracking to see who's actually going to show up. And by now, given how many events that I've done, whether it's in real life or online, and also the amount of mentoring and programs that I've created, I know the kind of women that I attract, that they've just, there's a very certain kind of woman who lives in my community and wants to join in my community more. And they're very much, very grounded, very open-minded, very curious about, and also ambitious to improve their lives in whatever way works for them. And yeah, just no bitches. I just don't tend to attract bitches, which is very, very, very good and very gratifying. So I was pretty confident that that would be the case with this group. But of course, until you're all sitting there together, you don't quite know who's going to show up for your 4-day retreat with you. So in terms of the group, so the age range was actually quite broad. So it ranged from early 30s to late 50s. There was a mix of business owners and professionals, and one person who's just transitioning into her own business after being a stay-at-home mom for 4 years. So very, very broad, and a mix of parents and non-parents. So it was, yeah, it was a very, very broad group. Most kind of had like half people from Queensland, half people from New South Wales, Canberra. And of course, we should have had one Victorian who was unable to make it, unfortunately. So the group was very, very broad, and just even in terms of personality types, so broad. Some people were very outgoing, very confident, and some people were actually quite anxious about coming on a retreat, which I think is definitely understandable. We stayed at Amara Retreat, which is in the Noosa hinterland. So it's about a 20-minute drive from Noosa town, and it is just magical. It's set in, so hinterland, for those of you who aren't familiar with the word, I think it's quite an Aussie term. It's set in like a rolling valley. And so the actual main retreat house, it's called the main house in Amara, looks over this incredible valley. So you're looking out over the tops of the trees for miles and miles and miles and miles. And in the mornings, there was just this beautiful mist that would be sitting over the trees. And then by the end of our miracle morning, it would have cleared. The nature was just gorgeous. And most of us commented on that at one point or another, just how lovely it was to be just so connected with nature, like to be out there, fresh air 24/7. It was really, really beautiful. So in terms of how the accommodation worked, we had the main house, which was our big chef's kitchen, really long table to eat our meals on. And then we had a veranda off the back, which was where we did some of our workshops. And that veranda then, as I said, looked out over the whole hinterland. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then we had 5 bedrooms in the main house, so 5 twin bedrooms where obviously people stayed. And then we also had 2 cabins. So I was actually in 1 cabin, and we had another 2 guests in another cabin. And then we had glamping tents. So we had 1 glamping tent with 2, Margaret and Chantel were in the glamping tent. So that was the kind of layout of the accommodation. It was a shared room retreat, which when I put the retreat together, I was like, oh God, I hope this is okay. I hope people are prepared to share. And just full transparency, hosting a retreat in Bali is a lot lower cost than it is to host a retreat in Australia. So in order to actually make it commercially viable to host the retreat, I did need to have people sharing. And thankfully, people got on famously with their roomies. They just seemed to adapt very, very quickly to sharing together, which was really, really cool. And just amazing to see that women can bond like that. So I did have with me Claire Obeid. So Claire and I actually worked together in PR 11 years ago we met. And over the years, we've obviously stayed in touch and followed each other's careers. So I was made redundant actually from that role that I worked in with Claire and went on to work in another agency for 2 years. And then from that agency, I started my first business, The Remarkables Group. And Claire went and did her teacher training and then gradually transitioned out of a 5 day week in PR and started to build her own health coaching practice. And when I was about 18 months into that first business and was rather burnt out, I actually reached out to Claire and became a health coaching client of hers. And she helped me hugely at that time in my life when I really, really needed it. So that's how myself and Claire met. And then when I was putting together the retreat in Noosa, I said, oh, I need to have Claire there because a few different reasons. I think Claire is absolutely incredible at holding space for people. She's just one of the best people I think I've ever seen to actually just be able to hold space. And what I mean by that is if someone's having an emotional moment or they're figuring something out or they just want to talk, Claire just holds such a safe and sacred space for them as they work through whatever it is that they want to work through. And I also love Claire's, obviously she's a yoga teacher. She's also a meditation teacher and she's got a really broad toolkit. So EFT, I'll talk a little bit about tapping in a few minutes. So emotional freedom technique. So she practices that. She practices breath work. She's studying herself, the whole area of womb yoga, which sounds absolutely fascinating. She wove some of that into our retreat together as well. So I love Claire's toolkit and I knew that she was someone who could bring lots of different ideas to the group and something I'm very, very passionate about, whether it's a retreat or an online program or a 1 day event or a 1 hour talk or whatever I'm doing, is that people get tools out of that. I don't just want to leave people feeling inspired and motivated and rested. I want them to actually have something in their toolkit that they didn't have before they came and had that experience with me, whatever experience that is. So that's what I really loved about Claire, because I felt like she has so many tools in her toolkit that she couldn't but help people take some things back into their real lives that they could really put into practice from the retreat and beyond. And then I hosted 4 workshops. So I'll walk you through the itinerary just so you know what that looks like as well. So I hosted workshops. We had the most incredible food. So I was peeking about what I was going to do about the food on the retreat, given that my beautiful chef, Sophia, was stuck down in Melbourne. And I didn't really know how this was going to go. And it was just by a massive stroke of luck. What would it have been? 8 days before the retreat started, I reached out to Claudia, who had catered events at a Mara retreat before, and asked her if there was any crazy chance that she was available. And she was. She was actually due to have some surgery, which was moved back. And as a result, she had the exact window that we needed for her to cater. And she was incredible. Sophia's food is amazing. And I just didn't in a million years think that we could find anyone who could match her food. And Claudia's was absolutely stunning as well. So in terms of the food we had, I've got the menu here in front. This is my favorite stuff to talk about. So I thought it'd be fun to share the menu with you. So guests arrived at 12 o'clock on Thursday lunchtime. And from there, then we all met in the main retreat house. And I was just trying to remember everyone's names. And we had a welcome drink of chilled lychee coconut water, which was delicious. And then I guided people to their rooms and the people who were staying outside the main house went down to their rooms, got themselves settled in as well. And then after that, we came back and we met at 1 o'clock for our first lunch. And the first lunch, actually quite a few people said that this was their favorite meal of the entire retreat, which I thought was pretty cool. And we had these beautiful marinated satay sticks of tofu, this incredible peanut sauce and this green papaya salad with just these amazing Asian herbs and finger lime and crunchy fried shallots. It was incredible. And then a tropical fruit platter. And then at 2 o'clock, we went into the first session with me. So this first workshop was all about, I guess my intention was to really ground people down, obviously help people get to know each other so that we could start to immediately start to build that bond and that trust between the group, which is so key in any kind of group, but especially on a retreat when you're spending 4 days with someone. I also guided the group through an intention setting exercise so that they were really, really clear on what it was that they were hoping to get out of the next 4 days. And I did this very fun exercise that Michelle Broadbent did with our mastermind retreat in November last year, which was all about clearing the deck. So I passed around a piece of paper to each person and got them just to do a complete brain dump onto a piece of paper about all of the things that were bubbling away in their mind, whether it was home related, kid related, work related, health related, anything, just get it all down on paper. And then I packed it away in a jar with a lid on it. And I said, I'm taking this away now. It's all here. It's all noted. And you can have it back on Sunday if you want to. And I think that was really good just to help them transition through into that beautiful, relaxed retreat space and start to switch gears in their brain a little as well. The other thing I did as well was the life audit exercise, which I've done with a few groups this year. And I just recently did it with my Step Into You program participants. And that was about really helping them look at, okay, the different areas of their lives, where they're sitting right now, how happy they're sitting with each of those different areas. And again, just to go into the 4 days knowing what they were working with. And I know for a few people that was actually quite a confronting exercise. And my message to them was that that's okay. It's okay to be confronted, because what we're doing here is we're bringing the darkness into the light. And once we're aware of something, we can start to work on it. I'm a huge fan of the Maya Angelou quote, "When we know better, we do better." And that was really the purpose of that exercise that afternoon. So we spent 3 hours together in my workshop, and then Claire hosted a magical welcoming cacao ceremony. So we moved down yoga, Miracle Mornings and Yoga was held in the Heart Space, which is a separate building overlooking, again, the hinterland. So same view as the main retreat house. So we walked down there and we picked up our bowl of cacao as we went in. And I bought a huge block of raw cacao paste from a ceremonial cacao paste from Ubud when I was there in February last year, just before the world went COVID crazy. And my plan was that this will be perfect to cater my retreats back in Bali. And if I did anything in Australia, I could have it as well for events. Maybe I didn't think I'd be doing retreats back then because I didn't think all of this craziness would happen. So that had been living in my freezer for a year. So we had beautiful, organic, raw, ceremonial cacao straight from Bali, which was beautiful. And Claudia made it up. I gave her a loose brief and she just nailed it. The recipe was incredible. It was like cacao with coconut milk and spices. And Claire had some sweet orange oil, essential oil with her. So we popped some of that in, a little bit of maple syrup. Oh my God, it was just divine. So we gathered for our cacao ceremony. So Claire led that like a mindfulness ceremony and really just opened up the spiritual circle for the 4 days together as well. And then from that cacao ceremony, we rolled straight into a 2-hour yoga class. So Claire called it Yang to Yin. So a bit more movement initially, just to help people transition from that busy, busy, go, 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 in transit, get into your retreat space. And then gradually then we dropped into some really beautiful long yin holes. So it was really, really beautiful, really restorative. And I just loved that what Claire created was almost like mirroring that sense of, okay, dropping into my retreat space. And by then it was dark and we went up to the main house and we had a beautiful meal together. And people actually finished up quite early that night. I think people were quite tired. One person had driven 7 hours to get there and other people had left like Sydney at like 7 a.m. So people were quite glad to just chilling and get to bed. And we had, what do we have for dinner that night? Oh, we had Mediterranean platters. Oh my God, we had this baked eggplant moussaka. I'm looking at the menu here with like tomato, lemon zest and ricotta. It was just divine. And then turmeric pilaf rice with dried fruits and roasted almonds. It was delicious. So that was dinner. And then we had this peach and plum galette. So it was like a square of pastry with almond cinnamon paste. And then that was served with stewed plum, stewed peach and vanilla coconut ice cream. Again, was amazing. And then the next morning, then we had our first miracle morning. So we gathered at 6 a.m. and Claire guided us through a yoga practice. So how she actually structured the three sessions was really, really smart and worked so beautifully with the sessions, the workshops that I was running. So she started with, on day one, was all around the first miracle morning was focused on the womb space. So for women, that's the seat of our creation. So she focused on the womb space and helping us connect in with that space within ourselves. And then on day two, then she focused on the heart chakra. So really about opening our heart. And she said something really beautiful in her session. She said that our heart is where our dreams live. And it was just so perfectly aligned with my workshop, because my workshop that day was all about passion and purpose and vision. So it was, yeah, it just flowed so beautifully. And then day three, then on our last day of retreat, it was focused on the third eye chakra. So that's all about clear seeing, clear knowing, knowing your path and knowing how you're going to get on your path and stay on your path. So Claire wove those three themes through each of the three mornings. So on those mornings we did, it's very, very gentle yoga, something Claire mentioned to the group and we all completely agreed with her. She said a lot of yoga can be quite masculine. She said when now that she's studying more feminine forms of yoga, she said that yoga historically has been built for men and men's bodies. So she said a lot of the yoga that we do, we think we're going to kind of zen out and relax and drop into that more feminine energetic space. But what we're actually doing is doing quite tough poses, holding, pushing, thrusting, hustling, essentially almost in yoga. So there was a huge difference in the yoga that Claire guided us through in terms of just that super, super relaxing, restorative style of yoga. So the yoga was a lot slower than I would be used to. And yet I still felt like I had really had a really beautiful deep stretch. So Claire did a combination of meditation, yoga, breath work, energy work. I mean, it was definitely more than yoga. It felt, and she said this a couple of times herself, you know, we're not just doing yoga this morning, we're doing some really deep energetic healing. And I've never experienced the level of emotional release in yoga, in a yoga session before. So a few people had like emotional releases where they might have gotten teary or emotional, or a couple of people was like full out sobbing at certain points in the sessions. And that was just that release. You know, we store so much energy and emotions in our body. And when the right practitioner for us actually guides us through, it's incredible what we can actually release from our bodies and from our energy fields. So that they were the miracle mornings. And we finished then at about 7:15, 7:30. And Claudia and John, her amazing partner, would bring down huge big jugs of lemon juice in warm water, and then myself and Claire would serve everyone their glass of their mug of warm lemon water. And then each morning Claire had put an affirmation card underneath each person's yoga mat. So at that point then she would invite us to flip over our yoga mat and see what our affirmation was for the day. And it was fascinating how on the money those affirmations were, or how they, not necessarily on the money, but just how they were exactly what that person needed to hear in that exact moment. And quite a few people brought their journals down, so they would just take some notes down about whatever had come up for them during the session. And then it's such a lovely feeling at the end of that miracle morning, and you just kind of sleepwalk out and you just feel so incredibly blissed out, and the sun has risen and the hinterland, like the valley, just looks beautiful. And then we'd wander up then for breakfast at the main retreat house. So breakfast, what do we have for breakfast? I'm jumping back to my menu. So we had the first morning we had breakfast platters of smashed avocado, dukkha, fermented sauerkraut, vegan cream cheese, goat's cheese, blistered cherry tomatoes with fresh basil. And then we tend to have like a sweet and a savory for breakfast each morning. And then the sweet that day then was a quinoa, chia, oat and coconut porridge, which was delicious. And then teas, coffees, toast, butter, jams and marmalade. And then my session then on the Friday was all about energy management. So this has been very much part of my own personal stepping into myself journey, has been figuring out, okay, how do I optimize my energy? How do I get more energy? How do I maintain my energy? How do I protect my energy? So I guided the group through an exercise to identify, if you've done my Step Into You program, you'll be familiar with this exercise around how to fill, I use the analogy of the buckets on the worksheet. And I talked to them about how the fact that we can do lots to fill our tanks. We can do the yoga and the Pilates and the meditation and all of the things. But at the end of the day, if we're running with empty buckets in our lives, i.e. there's holes in the bucket and we're losing water, like energy leaks, that's exactly the same as our energy. We've got energy leaks. So it's almost like the more you put in the bucket, the more is going to come out the other end. So that the idea of that session was to help them identify what are the things that really builds their energy for them day to day in their lives, but also where are the areas that they're losing energy. So I call them energy leaks, as I said. So where are the areas that they're leaking energy from, and what strategies could they use to start blocking up those leaks? So the result being that there's more coming into the bucket, but there's also, critically, there's more staying in the bucket as well. So I guided the group through that session. I did a lot of sharing in that session. That was quite intense, as in I did ask the group to share a lot, because that session I find on a retreat is really critical, because that's when people really bond. And what I found fascinating is that even the previous day in my first workshop, when people were doing the whole get to know you exercise, that initially we would go around the table. So there was 14 guests on the retreat, and we'd go around the table and the first few people would share. It was more tentative, maybe a little bit more guarded, a little bit more conscious maybe of what the group would be thinking. And then maybe person five would share a little bit more, and then person six would share even more, and then so on until you get around the table. And by the end of the sharing exercise, by, you know, person 12, 13, 14, it's all on the table. So that was really inspiring, and to the point that a couple of people who had shared first on the first day said, like, I feel like I didn't go as far as I could have gone yesterday. And then they took that opportunity in that second workshop to do that. Then Claire also did a really awesome talk on energy management towards the end. So she talked about how every emotion that we experience is on a certain energetic frequency. And she talked us through Abraham Hicks. So this is something she's introduced me to that I want to learn a lot more about this year. So Abraham Hicks talks about the difference. So Abraham Hicks, so this is what Claire has explained to me. And I, as I said, I want to get into learning more about this and studying my ASF on it, because it's exactly the area that I've been wanting to learn more about for my work. And Abraham Hicks is essentially like a spiritual guide that a particular woman, I don't know her name, channels. And what this entity, Abraham Hicks, has taught her is that every emotion has a certain energetic frequency. So for example, on the lower end of frequencies, you might have grief, sadness, depression, anxiety, worry, fear. And then on the higher vibrations, you've got things like love and grace and generosity and trust and faith and all those things. So what Claire was explaining to us in that session is that when we are stuck on an energetic vibration of fear, for example, we're almost like we're on AM radio. We can't get to FM. So what the energy work from her perspective, where the energy work comes from, is starting to figure out, okay, how do we start to raise our vibration so that we move up more and more closely towards pure love, for example. And then what happens then is the life that we want to create is on that energetic vibration that we want to get to. So I hope this is making sense. So a big part of the work that she was doing with the group over these 4 days was to help them lose the heavier vibrations, like, as I said, fear, worry, concern, terror, whatever it might be, and start to align them more with the higher frequencies. Because what happens then is the higher frequency, the emotions that we're experiencing day to day, the higher frequency our life is altogether, whether that's abundance, the quality of our relationships, the success of our businesses or careers, just our day-to-day contentment is just generally on a higher vibration. So that was really, really helpful for the group. I could see there was a lot of breakthroughs from the group from what Claire shared at the end of that session as well. And then after that, we had our lunch, and which was poke bowls, which were delicious. And then we had go inwards time. So I'm very, very big on go inwards time. It's important on my business retreats as well, but on a retreat like this, which is more of a broader group, it's so important to have that go inwards time, because particularly, I mean, if you're an introvert, you need that time to refuel. But also, and something Claire and I identified when we were chatting on the plane on the way up to the retreat, is that a lot of women have actually lost the ability to be by themselves. That they just, you know, it's go, go, go. What do I need to do next? Who do I need to look after now? Whether it's clients or customers or kids or partners or neighbors or whatever it might be. And so it was really, really important to me when I was planning out the program for this retreat that we had 5 solid hours where the guests could actually just totally decompress and learn to have time to themselves and to fill up their own tanks in that sense. So with go inwards time, some people traveled into Noosa and went to the beach and had a look around there, did some shopping and yeah, checked out Noosa. A lot of people, I think more people probably just stayed on the retreat in the venue. So they went, we had a magnesium swimming pool there. So they go for a swim. A lot of people kind of coupled up and had chats. People read, had naps, listened to podcasts, did some journaling based on what might have come up for them over the morning. So the afternoons were called go inwards time. And then that evening, then we gathered for evening circles. So there was a fire pit on the retreat grounds. So we gathered around the fire. The fire was lit, which is pretty hot. It kept the mozzies away. And that evening then we shared, so I'm on Friday evening now, then we shared one thing that we were grateful for from that day and one insight that had dropped in for us in that day as well. So it's a really lovely chance to come together at the end of the day and share our learnings. And as I talked about a lot with the retreat group, and they raised it themselves as well, it's amazing how much we can learn from other people sharing. I think in the past I thought, oh God, sharing, come on, just get on with it, just teach me the content. But it was amazing how many times when someone's shared, oh, this is what I've realized or what's dropped in for me, that someone else would actually write that in their notebook or in their journal going, oh my God, yes, that makes total sense. So we had that share over our evening circle on the Friday evening. And then we gathered in the retreat house then for dinner. So we had a cocktail, we had Aperol and Prosecco spritz with fresh orange slices. And then we had an Indian feast that night, which was so good. We had a roast pumpkin and coconut dal. We had mint cucumber and yogurt salad, seasonal greens with fried paneer cheese, crunchy poppadoms, mango chutney, and a tomato, lime, coconut and coriander sambal with some seasoned brown rice. It was delicious. And then for dessert, we had a cacao coconut mousse with blackberries, orange and sage. We were eating the mousse going, what is this flavor? We couldn't pick it. And I went into the kitchen. I was like, Claudia, what is this? And she's like, it's sage. I was like, of course. And a toasted pecan crumb. And then that night, actually, people stayed up quite late, I mean, relatively late. I think we stayed up till about 9:45, maybe 10 o'clock, chatting. People were in the pool. And it was just, I think that moment I went, whoa, these women didn't know each other like just over 24 hours ago. It's pretty special how quickly women can bond. And then on Saturday morning, then we had a session on. So again, we had another miracle morning with Claire, and she did a tapping workshop. So if you're not familiar with tapping, it's EFT, emotional freedom technique. Someone else who's a big fan of tapping is Denise Duffield-Thomas, who you might be familiar with from an earlier episode in this season. And what tapping does, essentially, it's like Claire explained it beautifully. It's the marriage of Eastern philosophy and Western philosophy. So it taps into psychology essentially and helping you kind of hack your psyche. And it does that by you tapping in certain, it's not even tapping in affirmations. It's not that, it's not quite that. It's about, Claire, I should get Claire on here to explain this better. It's about, so talking through, okay, I'm feeling worried. And then you tap on that in a series of different acupressure points that Claire taught us in the session. And it was really incredible. She said, how's everyone feeling? And one of the women on the retreat said, I'm just feeling really sad for a family member who'd been through a really tough experience. And she's like, I just feel inexplicably sad. I don't normally feel this day to day. So Claire actually worked with that person one-on-one and tapped through the emotions. So she asked the person to tap through the emotions, and we all did it with her as well. It's like a group tapping session. And I was sitting facing, because I was sitting just behind Claire. So I was sitting facing this woman, and just the look of shock on her face when Claire said, is the emotion still there? Can you still feel the sadness? And my guest just said, no, it's gone. Like, it's totally gone. And you could see she was trying to find it again, and it just wasn't there. So that was really, really incredible. And I know I've been meaning to get into tapping more and more over the last couple of years, and I just haven't quite gone there. And I've been tapping myself every day since that session with Claire on Saturday, and it's incredible how powerful it is. So we had the tapping workshop with Claire, and then we went up for breakfast on Saturday morning. And breakfast on Saturday was whole roast portobello mushrooms, a turmeric scrambled egg, which I'd never had before. They were so good. Spinach and tomato tapenade, and then we had toast and fruit and tea and coffee. And then my session on Saturday, so this was really interesting because myself and Claire had tried to, I guess, marry up what she was doing with what I was doing in sessions. And I could see it was helpful on the Friday. On Saturday, it just blew my mind, because Saturday morning I was talking about passion and vision and purpose and talking through what each of those things are and how we can find more of them in our lives, and then guided the group through a series of exercises to help them articulate what their vision is, their purposes and their passion. And as I said, Claire had said that morning, because that morning, remember, she was focusing on the heart space and the heart chakra and opening up our hearts. She had said that our dreams live in our hearts. And I have never seen a group flow with that kind of work before. It was so easy. And they each said it at the end as I was asking them to share what they had created that morning. And they just said, that was just so easy. It was so easy. And I realized, I was like, it's because Claire had primed them so beautifully that it was almost the door was open. They could just flow whatever was living in their hearts onto the paper and get some, I mean, more clarity than I think a lot of them had had in their entire lives. Not a lot of them, but definitely some of them had had in their entire lives. So that was a really, really great session. I didn't do as much sharing on the Saturday morning because it was more about the exercises and getting them to really get down on paper what it was that they wanted to create. And then we had some lunch. We were meant to have pumpkin soup, Middle Eastern spiced pumpkin soup. But Claudia grabbed me that morning. She's like, Lorraine, it's very hot. I was like, yeah, I don't think we can have soup. So she made two beautiful big veggie salads with like lots of Middle Eastern spices and tahini dressing and roast eggplant and grilled capsicum. Yeah, very, very good. And then we had our go inwards time again on Saturday afternoon. And bless Claudia, I actually hung back. I was chatting to probably six or seven of us from the group, stayed back chatting after lunch for about an hour. And Claudia said, oh, Lorraine, just letting you know, afternoon tea is in the fridge, because she prepared, like I said, like a sweet treat every afternoon as well. And she's like, it's a, what was it, a cacao and ginger raw brownies. So she's like, it's just in the fridge if anyone wants to help themselves later. And I just looked at Margaret, one of my guests. I was like, yeah, we're going to have them now. So we took out those two big bowls and then we took out one and we were like, and in the mouth. They were so good. So we had afternoon tea. People could just kind of drop in and make teas and coffees as they wanted during the day and grab themselves a sweet treat. And then in the evening then, so everyone had their go inwards time. And in the evening then we had a vodka, cranberry and fresh lime cocktail. And that was our last dinner. And I just, again, had another moment standing out on the veranda going, oh my God, they're so bonded. But before we actually got to dinner, we did a slightly earlier evening circle that evening. So it was a full moon. So this was Saturday and we could see the moon building since we'd arrived on Thursday. And I think because when you're out in nature like that, there's no light pollution. Like I sometimes struggle to see the moon where we live because there's buildings in the way or there's streetlights or just, yeah, a lot of light pollution going on. And we could just see this moon was just this bright, whitey blue, and it was just building every night. So Claire had planned a really special ceremony for the Saturday evening. So again, we gathered around the fire underneath the moon. And Claire explained that the full moon is a really great opportunity to let go of whatever isn't serving us in our lives anymore. So each person in the group wrote down something that they wanted to let go of, that they wanted to leave behind in the full moon. And they also created an affirmation that they wanted to almost like the opposite of whatever it is that they were trying to let go of. And then one by one, we went up and threw our papers into the fire and we said whatever that affirmation that we had chosen. So some people said, I am loving. I know mine was, I am free. I am connected. I know someone talked about connection. And then as each person walked up and put their piece of paper in the fire and said their affirmation, the rest of the group repeated their affirmation back to them. So it was a really beautiful, like validating, integrating practice to really bring that affirmation to the group, but also to that individual person. And then we went and we had dinner and then we had a seafood feast on Saturday night. Claudia and John, her partner, had gone to the fish markets that morning and gotten two huge, whole, fresh, wild-caught barramundi. And then she had dressed them. Oh my God, the smell in the kitchen as she was preparing it. She'd infused it with ginger and lemongrass. And then she created this red Thai coconut sauce on top, that to pour on top. And we had wok-tossed Asian greens and this delicious sweet potato mash with these fresh herbs and cherry tomatoes. So that was dinner on Saturday night. And it was funny, the group kind of split in two then. Some people were like, yeah, let's go chat in the pool. And I went down to the pool with half the group. And the other half, I think, were like, okay, I'm going to bed early because this is my last night and I want to be like super rested going home tomorrow. Dessert that night was a lemon, myrtle and vanilla coconut panna cotta. And I had seen Claudia had made it a couple of days earlier. She was prepping it while she wasn't, just kind of getting ahead. And she was telling me that she makes a vegan panna cotta because obviously panna cotta is normally made with beef gelatin, and she makes it with corn flour, and it was amazing. I shared it on my Instagram stories. Like the wobble was incredible. It was exactly like a jelly. And then she made the sauce with it, and I was eating the sauce going, what is this? Why is this familiar? And I had actually missed her because each meal she would come out and talk through what it was she was serving. And I went in and I was like, what is this? And she said, it's miso. She just made a caramel out of miso and sesame. It was just next level. And so that was our Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, then again, we had our last miracle morning with Claire, which was all about, as I said, the third eye chakra and opening that up to clear seeing and knowing what our steps were forward beyond the end of the retreat. And then we had a breakfast, which was funny. Claudia shared them like the sweet one first. I was like, no, I have to have my sweet second. So we had green brekkie bowls. There was like a kale slaw with peas and zucchini and mushrooms and seeds and mayo and parmesan and a poached egg. And then we had this delicious black rice pudding with coconut yogurt, mango and blueberries as like our breakfast dessert, which is always a good idea in my opinion. And then we rolled into my last session. So my last session was all about bringing it all together. So as I said, I cannot stand the idea of hosting a retreat like I hosted, where people go back feeling relaxed into real life, but don't feel like they've developed their skill set, or they don't feel more equipped, or like they've got some things like practices that they're going to put into action at home. In my opinion, only half the value of doing something like that is the experience. The other half is what you then put into action when you get home. So I guided the group through three different exercises. So the first one was about planning their perfect week beyond the retreat. So knowing what they know now, what are the small incremental changes that they could start to create that would help them feel that space that they had experienced at the retreat? So some ideas for people were Sacred Sunday. That came up a couple of times for people, whereby Sunday's a day with no plans. And also a lot more just quality time with family. And also people creating their own miracle morning. So based on what they learned from Claire, creating a miracle morning. So what I was really focused on with the group is, look, this isn't about totally rewriting your entire week. That's not the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise is to find some small windows where you can make some incremental changes that will ultimately, when you sustain them over a longer period of time, that they'll really ladder up to having amazing longer term benefits for you. And then so that was the first exercise we did around planning the perfect week. And then the second exercise then we did as a way of bringing everything together was a series of reflection questions. So for example, what do I know about my life now that I didn't know before I came on the retreat? How am I feeling about the future? So there was, I think it's about 5 or 6 different questions that I asked people as part of that reflection exercise. And then another way that I really wanted to tie up the retreat was like the collective energy of that group was incredibly powerful. So what I wanted to do was tie it all together and almost create some kind of symbol of that collective love and support that they had created together over the 4 days. So I'd actually bought some really simple, beautiful bracelets from Bali. And what I did was I asked each person as we went. So each person I asked, what is it that you would like from the group? Like, what is the thing that's going to help you get through like the wobbles or the challenges that will, I mean, life is life, are going to come up when you get back home and inject yourself back into real life. So some people said they wanted loving kindness. Some people said courage. Some people said bravery. Some people said spiritual guidance. Some people said strength in themselves, like strength of self, which I really loved when someone said that. And then what we did was then, and it was a, it took a while to do, but I'm so glad we did it. What we did was each person passed their bracelet to the person next to them. And one by one, each of the group held it. And it was really lovely. Some people held it to their heart. Some people held it to their head. Some people just closed their eyes. And it was quite an emotional experience. And each person, as they received that person's bracelet, infused whatever it was that person wanted from them into the bracelet. And then people put on their bracelet at the end. And that was, I guess, the official closing ceremony of the retreat. And it was incredibly powerful. I mean, it probably took us about an hour and 15 minutes to do all of the bracelets together. And you could have heard a pin drop. Like, people didn't move. A lot of people were sitting in meditation. One person's a Reiki practitioner, so she was just practicing Reiki the whole time. It was, yeah, the energy was incredibly powerful in that session. And then we had our last meal, which was a vermicelli noodle salad. And then we got packed up and we headed back to the airport. So I feel like that was quite a bit of detail on the retreat. But as I said, I thought it would be, I know a few people were saying, you know, what did you do? Tell me about it. So I thought it'd be really good just to take you behind the scenes of it. And as I said, if you are planning on taking a retreat yourself, whether it's one that you're going to create yourself or you're going to someone else's retreat, just hearing how mine was might give you some inspiration or some guidance as to what kind of retreat would be best for you. So there was a few themes that I definitely saw from the group that I wanted to touch on as part of this episode. And the first one is that women just having no time to themselves. I wrote about this recently in a Monday Mentor that I sent out. That's my email that I send every Monday. And just for women, and I know one person said to me, like, oh my God, like we got to go inwards time and I just didn't know what to do with myself. It's been so long since I had that kind of time to myself. So I think that was a huge theme, is just women going, oh, this is what it feels like to have some space for myself, and the clarity that you get and the contentment that you get from that. The other thing that I definitely saw, and I don't know if this is kind of a contributing factor, is the fact that I have talked a lot about sex and relationships as part of my work over the, particularly on this season of the podcast. But relationships were by far and away the biggest common challenge in the group, by far and away. And there were quite a few business owners there, quite a few high powered execs, professionals, and the biggest commonality in terms of the common challenges, and also what people wanted to focus on and create more joy around in their lives, was definitely their relationships. I thought that was fascinating. And the other thing is just to see how amazing women can bond. You just to have women in that beautiful situation for 4 days, and I'm telling you, they felt like sisters. I know that I just saw on Saturday night, there was 4 women gathered on this day bread that was really probably only big enough for 2 people on the last evening before dinner, just drinking cocktails and just having the best chats. And I just went, wow, this is cool. And then the other thing I observed as well from the group, and to be fair, I've seen this in all my groups of everything I've ever done. There was no clickiness. Like there was no like 2 or 3 women kind of grouped together. It was so democratic, for want of a better word. Like everyone just got on with everyone. It was really, really special. And so yeah, that was the retreat. The feedback from the group has just been incredible. I don't want to share individual stories, but I know that it was life-changing for a number of people in that group. And I was just telling Wade, I got emotional myself actually when I got back on Sunday evening, and I was telling him what some people had said to me. And I just said, you know, that person's going back to their businesses and to their kids, like changed, like a changed person for the better as a result of the experience that, not what I did for them, but the experience that I guess co-created with them. And wow, like what a privilege is that? Just, yeah, next level. I don't even think I've got the words to articulate how I feel about that. Just obviously incredibly, incredibly grateful, and I guess a bit amazed that that's something that, you know, I could create for someone. It's really, yeah. Don't have the words, clearly. So the thought actually I did have, something I should have touched on with the themes, is, you know, so many women said, I'm just so glad I came. Like one woman said, like, I just haven't been in a good mindset. I just didn't know if I could even come and be with strangers for 4 days. Someone else was actually meant to come to my October retreat and my December retreat with her best friend. And obviously each of those got cancelled, and her friend ended up having a baby in January. So she came on her own in February, and that was a big deal for her. Like she was very anxious about coming and doing a retreat like that on her own. And I was just, there's so many women, I said, I'm so glad you came. And they're like, I know, I'm so glad I came too. I can't even imagine if I hadn't have come. And something that jumped into my heart, and I think it was Saturday afternoon when we were talking after lunch that day, was like, what about the women who didn't come? For whatever reason, you know, the timing wasn't right, or the money wasn't available right now, or they didn't feel like they could prioritize themselves. It's like, what about all those women who didn't come? And that makes, yeah, I am just thinking about it now. I just want to go hug those women. So that was pretty big. So I guess my message out of this is, and I have had a lot of questions about whether or not I'm going to do more retreats this year. The plan right now, just very honestly, is no. We're due our baby in June, and I just don't know I have a rough idea what my plans will be beyond that, but multiple retreats is probably not going to be on the radar. So, but that said, I loved the in real life connection with people. Like to be able to facilitate a group like that and guide them on that journey was just incredible. So I am planning some in real life events over April and May, late March, April, May this year. So I'm planning to do a speaking tour around Australia. So I've got 6 dates, 6 venues and locations in mind. So obviously Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Adelaide and Canberra. So that's my plan right now. So as I'm recording this, I'm a busy bee workshopping what that's going to look like. And I'm about to jump on a call with the team this afternoon to talk through it. So I'm really hoping that if you didn't get along to one of those retreats, that you get to come along to one of these events. It's going to be an event that will be really cool to come to with your girlfriends. And I'm really, really, really excited about it. I'm like, okay, I just want to, just want to get started. I want to do it right now. So if you don't get my emails, that's the first place that I'll probably announce it next week. So if you don't get my emails, jump. Make sure you jump on my email list. You can jump on via my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, or else if you just follow the link in my Instagram profile, you can find that there as well. So yeah, just get on my email list because they'll be finding out about everything first. And because I am going to take a 2-week break from the podcast. So we'll be back. I'll be back with the podcast on Friday, 19th of March. So I will have announced the tour in that time. So just make sure if you want to know about it, and obviously I would love to see you there, just jump on to my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, or on my Insta profile, and you can just grab the link to get on my email list there for you. So I know that's something I just love, that in real life connection. And I think we're just craving that now, that sense of like, I just want to see real people, not on Zoom. Zoom has served an amazing purpose. And I'm so grateful for all the women I've gotten to connect with over the last year via that. But yeah, I know I'm craving the in real life connection with people now. So just think about that. If you were looking at the retreat and you said, for whatever reason, it's not for me, just think about coming along to one of those events, because I'm going to try. Obviously, it'll only be a much shorter event, but I will be trying to package up as much of that love and TLC and space for you as I can in that, as well as teaching about a couple of really, really key and vital topics as well. So I hope you've enjoyed my retreat debrief. And if nothing else, hopefully this has given you some ideas to fill your tank. And as I said, maybe what to expect if you do want to create your own retreat or plan a retreat with some girlfriends or go on someone else's retreat, that you've got some ideas there. And as I said, I will be coming on tour over the next few months. So do jump on my email list to be across that. And it'll be a way of, yeah, I guess having a bit of a taster of what it feels like to have an experience like that. But a much, much smaller time and obviously financial commitment as well. Now, I did just want to, at the end of this episode, answer a few questions that came through based on this Step Into You season. And I'm not going to be able to answer all of them, but I've picked 5 that I thought would have the broadest appeal. So question, how do I balance the different approaches to life, but particularly work and business? For example, the hustle hard approach versus the Denise Duffield Thomas chillpreneur type approach. So my answer to that is I try my best, but I don't always get it right. I did not get it right, being very transparent with you at the start of this year. I flung myself in very hard to business. I had 3 major projects to bring to life, and I've worked very hard. I'm actually going to talk about this in a Monday Mentor coming up over the next few weeks. So what I've realized now is it's time then to swing the other way a little. So really to focus on home, health, Lexi, Wade, for a few weeks, just to, I guess, try and create that balance. So I would say that I am still learning. And I think the important thing is just to listen to your body, and also just listen to the signs in the universe. I've had a couple, this is what I wrote my Monday Mentor about, it'll be dropping in a couple of weeks. I had a couple of injuries. I whacked my head really hard. I really hurt my leg out walking one day. And that was just the universe saying, okay, Lorraine, just calm the jets now. Cool down. The other question that I wanted to answer as well is, how do you decide what to share about your life and past and what to keep private? And this is such a good question because it did come up on the retreat as well. And I think for me, I think it was Lennon Doyle said this, one of my favorite authors. And she said that it's important when we're sharing experiences that we've had in our lives that we share from a scar and not from a wound. And I've taken that on board in a big way. So I will rarely, if ever, share something that's going on at the time. Like, and I mean like a big thing, not just like something that's going to pass in a week or two. And what I will do is work through it, get my own insights, get myself really centered on it and get clear on why it happened and what the lessons were, and then share at that point. So I mean, a perfect example of that was the sexuality episode. I mean, that was all going down around June, July, August last year, and then chose to talk about it about 6 months later. So that's what I will do. I will often just check in with Wade and say, look, is this too much? And I know Denise talked about that as well on the interview that I did. Denise Duffield Thomas shared that in the podcast interview I did with her as part of the season, where she'll say, like, to Mark, her husband, like, is this too far? So Wade, I find, is a really good sense check on like what's good to share and what's not to share. But I would say most of the time he's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't see an issue with that. Someone asked another question. If I've never tried any of the things that you mentioned in your little black book episodes, that was when I talked about kinesiology, hypnosis, coaching, mentoring, all of the things, where would you recommend they start? Such a good question. I actually think the kind of catch-all and maybe the softest introduction to getting into that more, that supportive space, is probably kinesiology. And it's the one that I've practiced the longest. So as I mentioned in that episode, I've been seeing a kinesiologist for, I think, 10 years it's been now. So I think that would be a really good one. And the great thing about kinesiology as well is that it touches on all bases. It touches on abundance, relationships, self-belief, success, all of the things. So yeah, that would be my jump off point if that was one for you. Another question, what books are you reading right now or have you read recently? So if you haven't listened to my previous episode, that was last week, I talked about the 9 books that helped me step into myself. That is a really great place to start on my fave books. And a lot of them I've reread even in the last few months. At the moment, I am just finishing How I Built This by Guy Raz, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And Guy, he interviews really high profile entrepreneurs, but in a really vulnerable way, where you really connect with them as humans rather than, wow, you're so successful, you made all this money and had all this impact on the world. And I really, really love the podcast. So what he has done is he has packaged up all the lessons that he got from those entrepreneurs into a book. So it's like a business manual, but there's so many life lessons in it as well. I really, really love it. Next on my list, I have got The Big Leap, which is a book that Denise Duffield-Thomas recommended. And also Untrue, which is the book written by Dr. Wednesday Martin, who's the sex expert that I talked about back in the sexuality episode as well. So yeah, they're my next two are coming up there. And another question, how did you manage to keep your family from listening to the sex episodes? Well, I'm not sure if I did. I hope I did. My sister has not listened to them. She said my parents have not listened. And yeah, that's as far as I'm prepared to go. I'm not going to ask anyone up front. No one has asked. So I think it's a case of what you don't know can't hurt you with that one. Okay, my friends, I'm going to wrap up this episode now. Thank you so, so, so much for joining me on this season of the podcast. I try not to pick favorites, but this has really lit me up. And I think lit you guys up in a really, really big way as well, based on the amount of downloads. And I'm still getting feedback from some of the episodes this week as well. So thank you so much for joining. As I said, I'm going to take a couple of weeks break from the podcast. I'll be back on the 19th of March with a new season. Haven't decided, actually have no idea what that's going to be on yet. Normally I've got a rough idea. I have absolutely no clue what that's going to be on yet. So if you've got any requests or particular areas or topics that you would like me to dive into, please do drop me a note. I'm always keen to, so much of this podcast is led by your feedback. So would love to know if there's anything that you would like me to cover as part of that next season or focus on for the next season. Okay, I'm going to love and leave you there. And again, thank you. Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for joining this season. It's been a wild ride and I've loved every single step of it with you. So until next time and next season, much love. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all 3. Chat to you next week.